Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. Said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost, and we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
Oh, America lives. Hey, 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 welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I am here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson. We have one hell of a show lined up for you guys tonight. One hell of a show. We're going to begin with some Alec Baldwin news, a little bit of sprinkle in a little Kyle Rittenhouse news. Then we're going to move right on over to Loudoun County in Virginia and the cover-up going on over there. And what else happened in Virginia that we got? There's something else. Oh, that was in Kentucky, the student lap dances. Wait till you hear about all this stuff. Man, but I tell you what.
If the gods out there could slow down a little bit, we're getting too much material too fast every week.
Well, I just put in an application for a radio show to extend it from 2 hours to 8 hours. Daily, because that's how much news we're getting in. So we can do 8 hours a day. We're just going to need some sponsors, and We did pick up a sponsor, though. I don't know if you heard about that, Chris. Maybe I just haven't talked to you, but let me just roll right into that sponsor. Here we go, guys.
Is it a big one?
It's huge.
Where two truck drivers fall in love. Located at the foothills of Brokeback Mountain, J.B. Hunt Pictures presents Split Cheek Creek. Coming soon to a TV room at a J.B. Hunt terminal.
Oh, shit, that wasn't the one. I'm sorry. My bad. I'll find that clip of our sponsor here later. Yeah, wrong sound, my brother. I get them all mixed up because I'm not very good at... Go ahead, brother.
I was saying, speaking of sponsors, I am broadcasting tonight remotely live from the Bikerson Mobile Studios at the Woodhull Travel Plaza off of I-74 in Woodhull, Illinois, exit 32. If anybody ever wants to come and check it out, nice big freshly paved parking lot, and we have a nice little restaurant inside that has been completely renovated and reopened. Those of you that were familiar with it before, it's under new management. So I just wanted to give them a quick plug.
Hey, do that. That's awesome. They deserve it. Great place. I've stopped there numerous times. But first, before we start any of this, I got to get this out here because I haven't even told you about this yet, Chris. I haven't even told you about this. This is how huge this is. Yeah, man, and this is our sixth episode, and I got a big name to do a soundbite for us. She's gonna send in her assistant's gonna send in a response to one of our radio shows that we did that they didn't appreciate some of the information we put out. It's coming out of our vice president's office, and I'm gonna tell you what.
What?
Wait, yeah.
The vice president? What vice president?
The vice president Comole Harris. You know that one there.
You're gonna call Kamala Harris. You have her on the
she's
phone.
She's on
okay,
the
phone.
No. She called us, brother. She called us. Hold on. I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to call her right now. She messaged me and said, call me right now. So let's get right to it. Come on, Iris, everybody. Here we go.
Cut away. I think she's meeting with a lobbyist.
Wrong number. That must have been saved in my phone from I don't know what's going on.
I mean,
on
wrong
there.
Number. She wasn't with the lobbyist, ladies and gentlemen. That was a wrong number.
What the hell was that? Now we're having way too much fun, Chris. Pretty soon they're going to start calling us the Disrespected Stern Show.
Right.
Jesus. Anyway, you know what? We burnt up 18 minutes already being goofy and, being who we are. We might as well get right into it, huh, Chris? Let's just discuss it. It's been on the news all week. I'm sure everybody's heard about it. Alec Baldwin. So the guy, right. Oh, I didn't realize that we were in the public courts already. So guilty? I didn't hear that. I didn't come over my news wire. Oh, okay. So he's on the movie set of Rust, right? And his assistant director hands him a gun, which happens to be his own gun, a Colt 45. Nothing surprises me anymore, man. But anyway, he gets handed this gun, which happens to be his own gun. The assistant director says it's cold, which in their terms means that it's not live. Okay?
Right.
So he hands him that cold gun, supposedly, and he points it at... what was it? A cinematographer? A photographer? What the hell was she? I don't. Thank you. My tongue doesn't work that fast. Yeah, and shoots her and kills her. I'm not going to go into the conspiracy theories. I was gonna, but I'm not going to. But I'm going to tell you what happened, what transpired. Yeah, do that. But here's what transpired. So crew members working on the movie set of Rust. They walked off the set hours before Hutchins was shot to protest unsafe conditions, according to the Los Angeles Times. A previous incident involving firearms occurred the Saturday before the fatal shooting, when Baldwin's stunt double fired live rounds after being mistakenly told they were cold. So a week ago, you know, before that happened, right? Halls, the assistant director, had previously been the subject of complaints over his handling of safety protocols. He was fired from his job on the film Freedom's Path after a gun unexpectedly discharged on set and injured a crew member. Crew members allegedly took prop guns to shoot at beer cans with live ammunition earlier in the day before Hutchins was killed, a source told The Wrap. Mendoza said in a press conference today that the sheriff's office recovered a lead projectile fired from the gun, and the facts were clear. Baldwin was given a weapon loaded with a live round.
Wow.
So that changes the whole dynamics of the criminal case, said Stuart Frankel, a Los Angeles lawyer who has represented clients in death and injury cases, most recently the stunt woman, Olivia Jackson. Rounds should never be in a prop gun. That was shocking and surprising to me, he says. So they did, you know, Alec Baldwin kind of disappeared, and they spotted him today in Vermont, I believe, with family. And the headline of the story is Alec Baldwin shopping 1 week after he kills woman. It's like, okay, listen, no charges have been filed as of yet, as far as I know. So I just want to touch a point before we get into the conversation of what happened and transpired.
Boy. So many things wrong. just
well, but here's my point that I'm trying to make is that headline, you know, Alec Baldwin caught shopping a week after he killed a woman. Okay, before you say he killed a woman, yes, did he shoot a woman and did he kill her? Yes. Did he intentionally do it? We don't know that yet. However, the headline alone, it's like, pushing you toward to believe that, you know, a narrative. And I don't like that. I'm certainly not standing up for Alec Baldwin because there's numerous things that we'll discuss that where I feel that he was wrong. But for the news to come out that is irresponsible to come out with a headline like that. What is a guy supposed to be? Hovered in the corner, crying profusely and not be able to go to the store. I don't know what that was meant to be.
I'm sure he was totally traumatized for, I mean, this has been almost a week ago. I think it happened last Thursday.
Yeah.
Or Friday. The news didn't break until over the weekend. But I mean, obviously you're in shock for the first couple of days. You shut down, you're not going to do anything. And then, I mean, after that, once you get past the formalities and everything, I mean, at some point after your period of shock, life has to go on until you reach that next point where you got to deal with it. So, I mean, I'm not going to criticize the man for shopping a week
shopping.
After.
No.
Right. I'll criticize him for a bunch of other things, but I'm not going to criticize
him. Yeah, let's start with the first criticism. Why in the hell didn't you check to see if that gun was alive, you know, with ad live ammunition? Your first rule is check to make sure that it's empty.
Issue.
Okay.
That's
okay,
not even the first issue. The first issue, stop calling it a prop gun. Okay? A prop gun is a very realistic-looking gun that either it's a real gun that has been rendered non-functional, whether the barrel has been removed, the chamber has been cemented, or what have you, or it's a completely fake replica gun that has no functionality at all. That's a prop gun. This was not a prop gun. This was an actual firearm. It's a gun. So stop calling it a prop gun. It's a gun. And the reason I point that out
great point.
Is because your responsibility level when you're handling a fake gun that's not real and doesn't function versus your responsibility when you're handling a real firearm that is functional, two totally different levels of responsibility, two completely different levels of culpability. So by the media using the word prop gun, they're already steering you towards, it's not like he was using a real gun. It sounds like he was using some sort of stage gun that goes boom but doesn't really shoot, but somehow something went wrong. No, it was a real gun, folks. It wasn't a prop gun. He was handling an actual bona fide handgun. So that's the first issue. And I want to clarify that because we can't even have the rest of the conversation until we, you know, clear that up.
Well, and you're right. I mean, that leads into what I just said prior to that is when you're handed a weapon, and especially a weapon that you know is yours, that you were firing and using as a real gun, which it was, earlier in the day shooting pop cans, target practicing,
right?
You know that it's very possible that there could be live bullets in that gun. So why in the hell
right. Wouldn't
your first thing, before you start saying, okay, take number 58, whatever the hell it is, let me check this gun, make sure it's safe first before we move on. No, that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, and that brings up my second
issue. Gun. Yeah.
Who the hell are these people that they have employed as armorers? Because I'm sorry, anyone who is a trained firearms owner or handler is familiar with certain range safety protocols. You know, you have to have a certain level of discipline around firearms, and I don't care if you think the damn thing's unloaded or not. No one should ever be handling a firearm that hasn't been properly trained, even if they think it's never going to be loaded because they're just going to use it on a movie set. But who the hell are these guys who are the supposed armorers that are supposed to be in charge of overseeing the gun? Because there's a whole host of things they did wrong here. First off, if you're going to be using this thing as a stage prop, why in the world are you even mixing it up between squibs, what they call their real looking bullets that have nothing to them, versus your blanks, versus your live rounds? Why are you even mixing it through those different levels of ammunition when you're going to be shooting with, or not shooting, but filming, just to avoid confusion, filming with that gun on the set the same day? That's a no-no. That, I don't know if that protocol exists. It damn sure should. Secondly, if you're going to take the gun out shooting, I don't care if you're shooting cans or whatever, there's protocol, especially when this thing is being used, you know, in a film shoot. You go on the range, okay, you do a functions check to make sure that, you know, you're getting the proper trigger action and everything. You load it. You point the thing in a safe direction downrange before you chamber around. When you are done shooting, following all the proper safety protocols involved in range firing, before you leave that range, you clear that weapon. You clear that weapon, you inspect it, you make sure it's unloaded before you leave that range. Okay, unless you're like military in an active war zone or law enforcement where you're going to leave that range and you still need a round chambered, but you've got it properly secured on your weapons belt, et cetera. But you should be clearing that weapon before you even leave your little live round shooting game that you shouldn't even be doing on the same day you're going to be using the gun on the set, because it's just stupid. And then now we get to the film set. Now we're in a totally new location. Prior to putting that gun for use on set, even if you're going to be using squibs or blanks, and especially if you've been using either, and even more if you've been using live round time it was used on the film set, the armorer needs to be inspecting that gun, opening it up, riding the barrel to ensure there's no leftover projectiles from a squib, if squibs were used. And then if you're going to be using blanks and only blanks, obviously, those should be kept and marked in completely different containers, and you should be making sure if it's loaded with blanks, you should be visually inspecting that. You should only be loading it with blanks, like right before the film shoot, to make sure that it is properly loaded. So, again, who the hell are these armorers that took this thing out shooting, didn't clear the weapon after they were done shooting live rounds, then got to the set and apparently didn't even actually bother to inspect the ammunition or the chamber and just handed it off and said, yeah, here you go, it's good. Okay, so yeah, definitely I am going to put some responsibility on the armor, but go ahead.
Yeah, but hey, I don't even know what else to say anymore. No, I was sharing this out that we were live and sharing out the phone number. Because our phone number is 516 Let me rewind here because I want you to make sure you grab a pen and a paper if you're listening so you can call in and join the conversation live with us. Share your thoughts and opinions and what you let's get to the public opinion forum. And that phone number is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. Anybody can call in, and once you do call in, just press 1. That'll let us know that you want to come on air with us and share your opinion and your thoughts. So, you know, there's so many things I find wrong with the Alec Baldwin incident, and you touched base on most of them. At this point, I'm sure more information is going to come out. You know, you and people keep on calling me and you conspiracy theorists, and there's already conspiracy theories out there, brother, and I want to wait until later in the show.
Do you remember? I put that out there earlier this week. You're a crazy conspiracy theorist, and I can prove it. And I'm going to talk about that later. That is going to be going to be a little bit later in the show. But we haven't even attacked Alec Baldwin yet.
Yeah, no. We have so much to talk about. I'm wondering if we're even going to get to all of our subjects tonight because this
oh, we
will. Yeah, maybe.
We can do
maybe.
It.
Baldwin has done nothing but criticize Trump and the conservative party, and he's what I would consider very far left, far, far left, which is fine. You can be whatever you want to be.
A very vocal critic of gun rights, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And here he is owning a gun and
not following
Right, and ends up shooting a woman and killing her, taking her away from her husband and her son, and which is despicable in itself, just because of stupidity. And
right.
Anybody that, in my opinion here, anybody that has listened to Alec Baldwin over the years talk about his anti-gun rhetoric and his pro gun laws and all this bullshit, you know what? He was right. We do need gun laws for idiots like that. That doesn't do what they're supposed to do handling a weapon, a live firearm. Here's something about a gun. It takes lives. It doesn't give them back. Coming from my good friend Chad, he tells his sons that all the time, teaching them to deer hunt. The guns take lives. They don't give them back. That's why it's so important that you never point a gun at anybody, even if it's empty. What's the point? So there's a lot of things that happen. Go ahead, Chris.
They shouldn't be pointing a gun. I understand that you got a camera operator, whatever, they wanted to zoom in on the barrel of the gun or whatever. They should have a system in place to do that remotely if they're using a real gun versus a modified gun. And in this case, as I said, it's not a prop gun. It's a real gun. And when you're dealing with real guns, rule number one of dealing with a firearm, when you are in possession of that firearm, you, the handler of that firearm, are solely responsible for your conduct and what happened. That means you absolutely, before you pull a trigger, need to assure, either in a film setting, it's unloaded completely, or if it's a blank and you're shooting towards camera equipment. Again, I don't think a camera operator should be behind the camera at that point. I think they should have a remote system for doing that, and the technology is definitely there. But if you're going to be employing it in that environment, you should be verifying yourself that it is loaded with blank ammunition versus a live or a squib. And if it's empty, you should be doing your own barrel inspection to ensure that there are no projectiles left over. I'm referring back to the Brandon Lee incident in 1993, where they had unloaded a squib, which is it looks like a real bullet, but it doesn't have any powder in it, so it won't fire. They had unloaded a squib, and the slug had worked itself loose and actually stayed put in the barrel. So when they loaded the blank cartridge, well, now you have a powder cartridge with a slug in front of it. You've basically now got a live bullet, and that's what happened with Brandon Lee. So these inspections should be taking place, and if you are the person that's handling that firearm for that shoot, it's your responsibility to ensure that that firearm is safe to perform properly for whatever function you're about to use it in. I had this conversation with a truck driver earlier, and he felt like everything fell on the armorers and not on Alec. And I said, listen, I said, you show up in the morning to go drive your truck, and the guy from the garage says he already did a pre-trip for you and you're all good to go. He says, well, no. He's like, nobody else can do a pre-trip for you. You've got to do your own pre-trip because you're ultimately responsible behind the wheel. I said, buddy, it's the same principle. Whether it's a loaded truck or a loaded gun, you're responsible. Yeah. Nobody else can pre-trip that for you. Should they in that film setting? Absolutely. But before you commence to pointing an actual gun at people, you damn sure better make sure for yourself, because at the end of the day, if that thing goes off, guess who's holding the trigger? You are. So,
hey, we got a caller on here that wants to, and if this caller wants to join in this conversation, I've known this guy for a while here, and let's bring him on air. His name is Steven, and Steven, you are on the air. What would you like to add to our conversation tonight on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show?
Hey, thanks, Jeremy, for having me on. This is heartbreaking for me because although I'm not a fan of Alec Baldwin's political opinions, I'm a huge fan of his work. I love his TV show 30 Rock. I love his comedy on SNL. I try to ignore the political opinions of, you know, some of the people that are entertainers that I like. But it's tragic. And I think that it's going to probably spark, you know, some serious reevaluations for, like, you know, like how much are actors responsible for, you know, checking the weapon on set versus the armor that's supposed to be on set. The other gentleman, I'm sorry, I didn't catch his name, was saying, it's frustrating if you're a conservative because these are, we know what their, you know, political opinions are on guns, and then they go and they do something like outrageously negligent, you know, with a firearm in a commercial environment, you know, in a production environment. And they're like, what kind of message does that send? You know, like what, you know, it's like, are we supposed to take their, you know, political opinions, you know, seriously if they themselves are going to go, you know, be negligent with firearms? It's quite frustrating.
Well, and that's you make a good point about, you know, the things that it could bring up because of this tragedy. Maybe there should have been safeguards put in place on these production sets a long time ago, especially after the Brandon Lee incident in 1993. Don't you think they would have learned from that, at least from that, and say, okay, for now on any production set, any movie set, this is what the protocol is. But they never did that. They just kept them. They kept going with the free rein and of doing whatever you want. And now, tragically, another life is lost. At what point in time do we bring common sense and logic into the equation and say, okay, now we have two. Whether it's one or two, it doesn't matter. One's too many. Let's put rules in place, a protocol on how you handle weapons during a movie set.
Right.
Now, I don't want to hear this, well, we need more gun control laws shit, because I'm tired of that. I'm tired of hearing more, because gun control is only for criminals. Is only for law-abiding citizens. Criminals do not follow laws. It's very obvious about that. That's logical. We've listened to this and seen it time and time again. Law-abiding citizens are responsible gun owners, own, I believe it's 375 million firearms in this country. We have a population of 340 million. If the guns were such a problem and we need more gun control, we'd all be dead, because we have more weapons than we do people. People are responsible. Law-abiding citizens are responsible people. When you get a person like this Alec Baldwin character, which, hey, listen, I've watched his shows and his movies and his 30 Rock. I've watched all that stuff. I've enjoyed watching some of his acting. I'll admit that. However, when he comes out with his political stances, like a lot of these Hollywood movie stars do, and start criticizing people, and then all of a sudden everything that you've been criticizing goes against the grain that you've been criticizing, and you are involved in something that doesn't look so good, makes you a hypocrite. So stop with that shit. That's all I'm saying. What were you going to add there, Chris? I'm sorry. I kind of had to go on a rant.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, why don't we start with anyone who is involved in handling firearms on the set, whether they're an actor, a cameraman, or whatever, anyone who is involved with using firearm on a set should be required to have attended and passed a certified gun safety course.
Yeah, so I agree.
One of the things about that is if you read into some of the history of the production that they were working on, is they had a lot of issues with keeping their workers. Like they had union workers that, you know, were, quitting because the working conditions were not adequate. And so they were hiring people to replace them that were less experienced with the kind of work that they were doing. And that contributed to the unsafe conditions. There were already other like unsafe conditions with the kinds of hours that they were working. But then that, you know, leaked into now we have aren't as safe with, you know, handling firearms as they should be with the, you know, all the other workers like in the production. There were people there that were not as experienced because the people that normally would have been working it, you know, quit.
Yeah. And that was a big issue that was brought up, especially in the news media, about the working conditions, and especially the firing of the assistant director from his previous job for the same kind of incident. And the fact that this happened 1 week ago, a Saturday ago, and yet this tragedy still happened after they had a mishap. Boy, in the courts of public opinion, mainly being mine, I would say somebody should be charged with something for the death of this woman, whether that be involuntary manslaughter or what have you. You didn't take any precautions after it already happened the prior Saturday. So,
right.
What in the
and
hell?
I don't take the excuse. I don't take the excuse that, oh, well, our experienced people quit, so we had to get less. I'm sorry. Either people are qualified or they're not. There should be strict requirements for, of all people, someone in charge of making sure a firearm that's going to be pointed at people is safe to do so. And, I mean, it's just like a trucking company. What if all my drivers, if I own a trucking company and all my drivers quit and I've got loads to cover, I can't just go pull somebody off the street that's never driven a truck and say, hey, listen, I'm going to give you a quick, you know, 30-minute crash course in how to drive a truck, and I need you to drive this thing. I can't do that. The law doesn't let me do that. The law doesn't let you do that. Why in the hell would we accept that as a reasonable excuse for letting someone handle a firearm on a movie set that's not qualified?
Exactly. And I 100% agree with you. I'm not making an excuse. I'm very pro-worker. I might be a little bit more pro-worker than some people care for. So to me, like, it's not an excuse at all. It's an egregious, you know, violation of, you know, workers' rights and safety conditions. And I agree with Jeremy, like, you know, there should be, if there's not legal action, if there's not a legal repercussion for this, it's going to happen again. Because if nobody's afraid,
exactly.
if nobody's afraid of going to jail, then they'll just do it again. Like, they'll just do it again when they can get away with it. And knowing that there's no repercussions.
Right. Hey, Stephen, on a different note, since I got you on the phone, I wanted to say something to you. I did see that you were recognized by somebody for your birthday. Do you care to share who that was?
Oh, yeah, former presidential candidate Andrew Yang wished me happy birthday. And so there's a funny story about that. So my friend Blair Walsingham, who ran as a congressional candidate in Tennessee, and obviously didn't win because she was running as a Democrat. So she now works for him. And she and I have been, friends for, you know, a couple years now. And we were lucky enough to be able to go to the 10-4 DC event. And so that was like actually one of the first times like working with her that like we actually went and, you know, were able to go like meet with people. And so I just wanted to give a shout out to all the organizers for 10-4 DC, you know, Fred Bowerman, Scott Campbell, all those guys. They were super welcoming, you know, Taylor Barker especially. We just love talking to you guys. And it's been an education for us to talk to truck drivers. The reason I like talking to truck drivers is because a lot of the issues that affect the trucking industry translate over into other industries. So it's just like your friend was saying, you can't just, if all your workers quit your trucking company, you don't go out and hire unqualified people. You can't do that. That's illegal for reasons.
Right.
And that translates over into a very different industry. It translates over into the film industry. Everything, I could write an essay on, you know, let's take an example. All right. So the former head of the FMCSA what was that guy's name? I forget his name.
Ray Martinez?
Not Ray Martinez. He's one of the other head administrators. But he's the guy that left and works as one of the chief legal officers for Too Simple, right?
Jim Mullen.
So what is the lesson to be learned there? How can it be that you go from being in a regulatory agency where you're supposed to be working in the public interest to keep roads safe and to be doing what's best for people, to now you've decided you're going to quit working for government and you're going to go make more money, you know, working in the private sector, and you're going to be now the chief, you know, legal director for a robot truck company. Like, is that a good thing?
But it starts off with him being on the board for Werner Enterprises, the proud pioneers of the ELD. And guess what? They put him in charge of the FMCSA. And guess what truck drivers have to deal with now? ELDs. And then we find out that the ELDs, the information, the data gathered from these ELDs, are being sold to the autonomous trucking companies in order to further their technology. And then what happens? Jim Mullen quit from FMCSA. He resigns, and he goes over to Too Simple, one of the head autonomous trucking firms out there that are trying to create this technology or are in the middle of creating it, doing a damn good job is what I hear. Those of you that are in the stock market, I would suggest highly that you double down and start investing in that technology, because they're coming along pretty quick, aren't they, Stephen?
Yeah, they're being pretty aggressive about it. NVIDIA is one of the companies that's heavily invested into Too Simple, because they're providing all of the hardware and a lot of the AI and the software and stuff. NVIDIA is doing quite well.
Yeah,
Jeremy, you're not wrong. But the problem to me is that it's okay. For me, it's okay if you work in private industry and you want to go and, you know, work in a regulatory position or an advisory position or a cabinet position, or even if you want to go and, you know, work in Congress. But once you do that, you have to know that you're never going to go back and work in private industry again. And so there has to be some kind of way for people to say that they can do their time. They can do their time working for the government. They should get paid more working for the government, more working for the people than they would be in private industry. And we need to tell them that you're going to work, you know, for the public interest, but you're not going to be planning or plotting your move back to private industry after you've regulated the industry in favor of, you know, the company that you're going to go work for later. We can't have a system that works that way.
I agree.
Exactly.
I totally agree that we can't have that conflict of interest of going in, being a regulatory official, stacking the deck in favor of a private company that you are now going to go work for. As far as government paying more than the private sector, absolute disagreement there. When you work for the government, you are a servant of the people, and the people should set your salary. In the private sector, the government should have no say in what your salaries are. But what we need to have happen is, if you go from being a regulatory in regulatory capacity, and then you go and you work in the private sector in the industry that you were overseeing previously as a government official, there should be accountability there if they can prove a conflict of interest occurred, and there should be some sort of corruption charge attached to that.
We already have laws in place that are designed to do that, you know, with like insider trading laws. And the problem is if you look at like who in our Congress is violating, you know, insider trading laws, it turns out a lot of them, but the laws are basically, you know, toothless to enforce. So when I say that their salaries should be high working for the government, I don't think that that's wrong, because if you look at actually like what we pay like members of Congress, for example, they don't actually make that much money. They're making, you know, barely above, you know, six figures, maybe like 150, 140. A lot of them, they're not actually making that much money. Where they make the most money,
not really,
it's from the stock market.
You have to factor in the benefits.
Yeah.
That's the one thing everybody overlooks.
I got to move on. I'm sorry, but Stephen, I appreciate you calling in, brother. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but I do have to move on with
fine.
The show. And thank you for your call in. Okay, thanks, Stephen.
Yes, thank you, Stephen.
Okay, so that was Stephen. He's a friend of mine. I've met through the trucking industry, standing up, fighting for overregulation, the ELDs, and hours of service, and this and that. Great guy. I've talked to him numerous times. He joined us at a protest down in Lexington, Kentucky, with my friend Tony and a couple of our other friends when they went down there. But yeah, great guy, and we do appreciate his insight and his calls. He's connected to a lot of people, Andrew Yang being one of them, and as you all know, Andrew Yang left the Democratic Party. That one blew my mind, but hey, everybody has their choices and their decisions, and I'd sure like to get into that some night. But moving on, I'm going to skip right over something, because there's two other stories I want to get to, but I just got to bring this up, the Kyle Rittenhouse ordeal. I'm not going to get into what my opinion is of it. I'm just going to tell you, to inform you guys, that so that the judge in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is about to begin, and he ruled that the prosecution is not allowed to talk or to call the people that Kyle Rittenhouse shot during that riot as victims. He can address them as rioters, or as people that were assaulting Kyle Rittenhouse, or whatever, or looters, but he is not to address them as victims. We're going to get more into that at a later date, because I think there's going to be plenty of news coming out of that trial.
Yeah,
we'll get plenty
of material on the Rittenhouse trial.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up, because that kind of tied in with the whole Alec Baldwin thing, and we could probably take 8 hours to talk about the Alec Baldwin thing, but you'd probably get bored too. But we do talk on me and Chris on the phone during the week about certain things, and that kind of brings us to what we want to talk about on the show. But we have to move on to this. You want to go and read a story. My mind is blown with this story. This happened in Loudoun County in Virginia, and back in late May, a girl was assaulted by a transgender student, a boy who was dressed as a girl. He went into the girl's bathroom and sexually assaulted this girl. That was on May 28th, I believe. Early June, there's a school board meeting. The father of that woman, or that girl, went to that school board meeting and ended up getting arrested and charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest at that school board meeting, because he was pissed that the school board...
He was being very loud, very verbal.
Yes.
They'd actually reported the incident to the school. And the school essentially was doing nothing about it. And so he became very vocal. And of course the school board promptly basically told him that he needed to shut up and quit being loud. And when he continued to be loud, then the police tried to escort him out, and that's when it became physical.
So it doesn't stop there, though, okay? So he gets arrested in the beginning of June, right? And what do they do with that student? Instead of getting it out in the open and saying, yep, there was a sexual assault, they bury it. They bury the story. They don't want nobody to find out about it. Now, hear me out here. We're in the middle of October here. Almost, yeah, we're in the middle of October.
5 months later.
5 months later.
So they
transfer this kid out of that school. And what does he do? He goes on to sexually assault another person. And here's what Carrie Michonne or McCone said. She's a grandmother out of Loudoun County. She has children in that school system. She said, you have buried a sexual assault to protect your precious 80-40 policy. The 80-40 policy is to protect transgender students and people in general in Loudoun County, Virginia. And people were raising the flag, and they were emailing, and they still covered it up. I'm sorry, but my opinion on this matter is you've gone way too far to that woke side where you think that you have to protect everybody's feelings. And while you're doing that, you're actually hurting people. You're hurting people permanently, physically, mentally, emotionally. We can be understanding and we can be kind and we can do all that to a point, not to the detriment of other people. And that's where there's a fine line that's been crossed. The governor of Virginia has asked for the resignation of the school board and the superintendent, as well he should. Everybody else has been asking for the governor to resign, and I don't understand why they'd want him to resign when he's not the one that was trying to cover it up. Now that it's been brought to light, should the school board resign? Absolutely. Should the superintendent resign? Absolutely. Not only should they resign, they should be held liable for what happened and prosecuted for what happened. Because it's to hide that, to hide a sexual assault, because you don't want to seem insensitive to the transgender community, that's a bunch of horseshit, in my opinion. Former Vice President Mike Pence spoke out against this also. And here's what former Vice President Pence said on Thursday to discuss parents' rights and school choice. And I'm going to bring up a really good point here in about 3 seconds, maybe 10. Issues that have risen to forefront ahead of the next week's statewide elections in Virginia. Remember that there's an election in Virginia next week, or is it next month? Next week. That involves the current Glenn Youngkin, who is the Republican gubernatorial nominee. That's his name, Glenn Youngkin. There's another guy that actually President Biden went down, and his name is Terry McAuliffe, and he's the Democratic gubernatorial nominee. Now Terry McAuliffe, he's the one that come out and said parents have zero rights deciding the curriculum of what your kids are being taught in school. So with that being said, after all this came out, that there's a sexual assault from a transgender person onto a girl in her restroom, which I've been very critical about since they've come out with, hey, yeah, he has a male, the male anatomy, but he identifies as a woman, so he should use a woman's bathroom. I, from the very beginning, take a hard stance on that, And it's not because I'm against transgender people or gay or lesbian community, because I'm not. To each their own, do whatever you want. But there has to be a line drawn in the sand that is just not acceptable. And this is why. When you allow sexual predators, and I'm not calling transgender people sexual predators, but in this case, they were. A free pass to get into the women's bathroom to sexually assault a teenage girl. We've got a problem. And that's why I've taken a hard stance on that. To make unisex bathrooms, then let's, instead of sending $50 billion or $50 trillion or $100 billion over to Israel or to any other country that hates us or whatever, keep some of that money home and start building your unisex bathrooms so those folks have a place they can use their bathroom and feel comfortable. That is not at risk of putting innocent people in harm's way of sexual predators, because we all know, just like the guns, criminals don't follow laws. Sexual predators, they don't care about girl, boy, men's, whatever. They're going to use a sexual, if you're a sexual predator, I can dress up in a dress, identify as a girl, walk into a bathroom, and I've got free rein on any girl in there. That's their attitude. That's a criminal's attitude. You're giving them a free pass. That's why you hold back funding and build unisex bathrooms in schools, public places. I don't care. Hold back funding from these countries that don't even like us to begin with. And instead of sending $2 trillion worth of missiles over to a desert, or handing the Afghanistan or the Taliban $88 billion worth of our equipment, how about you use that money? And if you believe in the sexuality part of transgender people, they deserve to have the equal rights. If you truly believe in that, great. Then quit giving all of our money away to the enemy and build up America. Build back better agenda is a bunch of horse shit. Because if that was true, then you would be addressing the issues that you have created. So there's my rant, Chris. Go ahead. I'm going to let you talk while I just take a deep breath.
You're going to take a deep breath now.
Well, I mean, there we go.
Wow. I mean, these things are out of control. The school boards are suddenly out of control, and I can't help but feel like there's some sort of national guidance, probably coming through the NEA, the National Educators Association, from the White House. Like, I think pretty much all these radical shifts that we're seeing in big tech and everywhere else, I think are being pushed from the White House. But the schools are becoming more and more, and I'm just going to say it, authoritarian. And even the Washington Post ran a headline, I believe it was yesterday, I could be wrong on the date, that said, and I may be off by a word or two here, but it said something to the effect of parents believe they have a right to have a say in their children's education. They don't. And we're getting suddenly, you know, the whole concept of a school board, they're elected officials, is that the community has that say through the people they elect to the school board in how their children collectively are taught within that community. And furthermore, the control of these schools is supposed to be decentralized. That is not a federal enumerated power in the Constitution for the federal government to be controlling, whether it be through actual legislation or controlling the purse string to influence it. And so what you've got happening now is you've got all of a sudden these school boards are following some sort of rule that's been kind of handed down to them, some sort of guidance, and they are suddenly ignoring the will of the constituent within their school board, within their school district, I should say. And these school board members have become tyrannical, and they are now basically adopting this mentality that these kids are ours. You have no say in what we're teaching here. And that takes the schools from being an education center to being an indoctrination center. We're no longer teaching that 2 plus 2 equals 4 or how to diagram a sentence. Now we've delved into, okay, we are going to teach you the morals and the values that the federal government has decided you're supposed to have. And we're going to ignore, I mean, whether you're talking about mask mandates, social distancing, critical race theory, you know, sexuality, all these things are being taught regardless of how the parents of that community feel. The parents are being completely removed from the equation, and that's a very dangerous thing. And the reason I say it's dangerous is, where else do we see these type of authoritarian systems of your kids will be taught what we want? Well, we see that in communist China. We see that in North Korea. We see that in other communist, socialist, and totalitarian nations. But where we've definitely seen it in the past, see Germany, the Hitler Youth, where, and this is going to sound familiar, all of a sudden, parents were urged to have both members of the house, both parents, in the working class, both of them having jobs to support the country, in rebuilding it, you know, build back better, rebuilding the homeland. And they offered free health care, or not health care, I'm sorry, free child care. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like any legislation you've heard proposed lately? So they offered free child care, daycare. And basically, when those kids went to school, they were being taught how to be the Hitler Youth. They were being indoctrinated by the Nazi Party, by the German government, which was ran by the Nazi Party. And any teacher who had an issue with what was being taught, you know, because God forbid a teacher didn't feel right in teaching that we should be blaming all of society's problems on the Jews. If they refused to teach what the Nazis were actually asking them to teach, well, they were fired or arrested. And we're starting to see that same type of thing happen in our school systems, where aggressively, what used to be maybe passive aggressive, now very aggressively, these school boards are asserting, we will teach your kids whatever the hell we want. You have no say in it. And they're teaching that, essentially, all problems inherent in society come conservative, Christian, straight, white males. You're supposed to hate them. You're supposed to embrace everything else. And we are going to teach you that. We're going to teach you that white kids should now be at the back of the bus. Segregation is a good thing for people of color, and white people should pay their dues. And by the way, we're going to teach you our version of sexuality and what good, healthy sexual relationships are, and teach you how to do them. And you have no say in it. And we're going to teach your kids these things and turn them against you, essentially, if you have anything to say about it. And so that it should scare the hell out of you that we are seeing this authoritarian approach.
Basically, our freedoms are under attack. First, it's our medical freedom. You go get the vaccination or you lose your job. And then second, now it's our educational freedom. Like they're taking your choices away from your children and you. So they're labeling parents as domestic terrorists, going to a school board meeting to stand up against what is being taught to their children, which they have every right to do. And in
which
a story
brings
out
up
of
your other
Virginia this
story.
Last week, out of Virginia this week, the feds flew in a helicopter to a school board meeting. They've been threatening and harassing this parent who went to a Capitol to protest about what's being taught in our schools, but she happened to go to the school board meeting, and they actually flew, the feds did, off our tax dollars, flew in with a helicopter to threaten and harass her standing at her children's school board meeting. Now,
And a marked Department of Homeland Security car was there.
Right, exactly. And I don't know. I know that a lot of you don't pay attention as close to the news that I do or current events, and that's fine. I understand and I get that to some sense. But right now, of any time in history, right now is when you need to be 110% glued to what is going on in this country with the nurses, the healthcare workers, with the school boards, and and this Garland, A.G. Garland, coming out and labeling them as domestic terrorists. And now he was questioned at a Senate hearing this past week if the federals, if there was federal agents at the January 6th insurrection, if they had anything to do with setting that up. And he refused to answer that question when we have videos that prove that that's exactly what happened, that they created January 6th and they egged it on. They were the ones getting Trump supporters to walk into that Capitol, not riot into the Capitol, not run into the Capitol with, armed with guns or any of that. No, they opened up the gates. They opened up the doors. The Capitol Police were there. They stood on each side of the hallway and walked in. And even one of them said, well, you guys probably shouldn't be here. But they didn't stop them. They just let them walk in. So there's a lot going on in our country that you need to be very observant about and very aware of. And our freedoms are under attack as we speak. That Constitution is under attack as we speak. Whether you want to believe me or not, I pay attention to everything. And Chris knows what I'm talking about is true.
Absolutely. There's so many things happening, and they're all connected. All of them are connected. These are not random occurrences. It's not like the country just suddenly went crazy because we had a pandemic. All of these things have been cooking up, building up over time, and now it's like a full court press. There's a full court press going on. And it's no coincidence that they're all happening at the same time. And it seems like our freedoms, our customs, values, our way of life is being attacked from all directions at the same time. And it's definitely a coordinated thing. I have a lot of concerns for the future of the country. I really do. But I don't know. Do we have a caller there?
No, I couldn't get a hold of them. If you are on the line right now, phone number ending in 2119. If you are on the line, just press 1. Go ahead and press 1. That'll let me know that you want to get on the air with us and share your opinion and your thoughts. Whether you agree with us or you disagree with us, when you call in, it's 516-387-1733. And once you get on the show and you're listening to us, just press that number 1, and that will let us know on our switchboard that you guys want to get online with us and share your opinion. So I'm not going to go with that one right there right now until they press 1. 2119, if you're on there, press 1. You know, leading back to, you know, what's going on in Loudoun County, that leads us to Kentucky. This is an indoctrination that happens through time, and things become more acceptable and more accepted. Whereas now you even have a parent from Hazard, I think it's Hazard County or Hazard something, school district in Kentucky.
Hazard, Kentucky.
Where, yeah, they, boy, this one is a real doozy. They have students lap dancing for the staff on tape or on with photos happened during the Hazard High's High School's homecoming festivities. The superintendent said what was supposed to be a fun activity got out of hand. This happened in Perry County, Kentucky. School district said disciplinary action were taken after photos posted to social media showed high school students giving lap dances to staff members. Where do you even start with this one, Chris? I can see when you plan things that you don't expect things to go a certain way. But when I plan things, especially like when we plan a protest to a Capitol, we try to dot all our I's across all our T's, and we plan for the unexpected. What if there's this? What if there's that? I don't see that happening in this scenario. And what happens after that is a mom comes out and says people don't know how to keep their mouths shut. And that one, it took me aback. What? People don't know. You got photos of kids lap dancing against a parent or against teachers. And she said in her statement, most of the teachers pushed them away.
Most of the teachers.
Stop me for a second. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, the pictures I saw, it seemed like they were, these were guys who were cross-dressing. And it looked like they were wearing some pretty short shorts, at least one of them, what you might call booty short. I mean,
they called it the man pageant, is what it was called. Okay,
man,
so
yeah,
it was supposed to be in fun, where the guys were dressing up as cross-dressers, and we're having a man pageant to see who would win, you know, the best cross-dresser, so to speak. But so this leads back to the assault that happened in the girls' bathroom in Virginia in Loudoun County. You want people to take, you know, transgenders and the LGBTQ community. I don't even know how to even pronounce it anymore because they keep on adding to it, but which is fine.
Right.
Again, I don't have a problem with transgender, cross-dressers, gays, lesbians. I don't have a problem with any of it. I honestly don't. But you want to be sensitive to the transgender community or the gay and lesbian community. But yet you're going to do something like this in Kentucky, where you're cross-dressing and trying to, you know, see who's the better looking guy that's a cross-dresser, which is, I get it. Your kids have fun. But you start doing lap dances on the teachers, and then you want to defend that. Again, in the court of public opinion, mainly mine again, can we use some common sense and some logic here, please, somewhere along the line? You know, and that leads right into the kids in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, an elementary school, where they brought them on a field trip to a gay bar and grill for a field trip in elementary school. I just don't think that's appropriate, bro.
I mean, okay, so I understand. Okay,
yeah,
they got this whole thing where they're trying to push this anti-bullying thing of saying, okay, you know what? Some people have an alternative lifestyle that's different than yours. There's gay people, et cetera, and they're trying to make it that, you know, we don't. Of course, you and I grew up in the days of what they called gay bashing. You know, when. People would be violently assaulted for being gay. And I can understand that we are trying to get away from that. And we're trying to teach people to be more accepting of other lifestyles than theirs. But taking kids to a gay bar, I mean, I'm sorry. Heterosexuality was a thing when I was in school, and we never took a field trip to a straight bar. We never took a field trip to a gentleman's club, you know.
Yeah, you never got to see any boobies when you were in elementary school to learn about sex education.
Right. We didn't go to any kind of bar, gay, straight, or otherwise.
You know what we went to? We went to the frickin' zoo.
Exactly. We went to the zoo. We went to places that were educational without having to delve into adult lifestyle choices. Well, I shouldn't say adult lifestyle choices, but without delving into, well, and when you're talking about bars, that would be an adult lifestyle choice. Because I'm sorry, you don't have to go to a gay bar just because you're gay. I'm sure there are plenty of gay people out there that don't frequent the gay bar scene, that are not drinkers. And prefer to engage in other types of social entertainment. So why are we taking kids and showing them the bar of any kind at that age?
Well, according to them, it was to learn about the community.
The bar.
I'm sorry,
community.
Man. I shouldn't be left.
I mean, like I said, I mean, we grew
learn
up
about,
being
yeah,
surrounded
yeah.
by straight people bars. And we never went to the straight people bar to learn about our community. We learned about our community by going to visit the fire station, the police station. You know, they took us to a bakery and showed us what it was like, you know, how local cakes and donuts were made. They took us to a bread factory and showed us the machinery and the technology involved in making bread. But they never said, oh, and by the way, here's the party life of your culture, you know. I don't know. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. I don't know.
There's a million – you know what? Listen, I went on field trips when I was in elementary school. We went to the Shriners Circus, and we went to the zoo, and we went here, and we went there. That was teaching us about different things. At what age – here's the controversy. At what age is it okay and acceptable to start teaching children that people are different, that there's not just a man and a woman together? Sometimes there's a woman and a woman. Sometimes there's a man and a man. At what point is that acceptable to start teaching them? And I honestly don't know at what point is it acceptable to bring them to a bar and grill to teach them that, to teach them what's going on in your community. I don't believe that that's acceptable. I mean, if you want to start teaching kids about different lifestyles or different sexuality preferences, is that correct to say? I don't know how to be all politically correct.
No, you can't say preference, because preferencing indicates that it's a choice, and it's not a choice. It's their natural inclination.
So okay. Whatever that may be. Yeah, I don't think it's wrong to, you know, inform kids. Hey, this is that. You know, just like 2 + 2 = 4. Does it make sense to the rest of us? In some senses, it doesn't make sense to me. But I don't care. Like if you're a woman and you want to be married to a woman or date a woman, or have at her. It doesn't affect me. I don't care if that's what you are, then great. I support it. If you love that person, have at her. But don't force our children at a young age like that to go to these places when they're adult places. You know,
right.
I might sound insensitive, and I apologize if I do, but I just don't think it's appropriate to bring kids to. I don't care if it was a heterosexual bar and grill. It's not a place I want my child to, this is what's going on in our community. There's the town drunk Harold over there that's fallen off his bar stool. He's got puke on his shirt. You know, no, that's a lifestyle.
Right.
You know, come on.
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
It's just not an appropriate environment, in my opinion. Now, I totally go along with the whole thing, by the way, that I take on the argument, you know, that it's not a preference. It is an orientation. An orientation, I guess, being that you're pointed in that direction.
That was what
because,
I was trying to say, sexual orientation.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, I mean, I never made a choice, you know, and I'm not afraid to bring this up because I had this conversation with my wife once before where I talked about I hit a certain age in school, and I won't say the girl's last name, but there was a girl named Teresa. And Teresa had a very nice butt. And I didn't make a conscious decision one day to just start saying, you know, I'm going to just really like Teresa's butt for no apparent reason. But all of a sudden, one day, just, man, I'm walking down the hall and I just couldn't take my eyes off the damn thing. And it was just like, wow. And you know, so I get it. I did not make a choice to be a heterosexual. That is just how my physiology turned out. One day, bam, girls went from being, ooh, gross, and who wants to hang out with them, to, oh, wow, I never really noticed the features of that before. And so I get it. And if you are gay, homosexual, whatever pronoun you want to use, they go through a whole different process where
sure.
When they hit that point in their life, it's not, you know, it's not Teresa's butt they're looking at. You know, it's Tommy's butt they're looking at or what have you. But anyway, I don't want to go too much into all that.
No, but you're right, Chris. And here's the thing. I've got In my family, in my close family, I have a transgender in my family. I'm not going to say he, she, or nothing like that. I don't want to put them on the spot. I care about them deeply. He's a good person. Also close to me, I have a couple that are married that are women, and they have children together that are very, very great people. And I don't want people to mistake what I say or talk about here, where I think this is inappropriate, where you bring elementary kids to a bar and grill, as I'm against, you know, the LGBTQ community, because I'm not. Is it the LGBTQ? It's LG, lesbian, gay, bisexual. Is it still called queer? Are we allowed to say
transgender,
that?
Yeah, transgender, queer. And I have never have really figured out what the plus stands for, unless that gets into like the binary, non-binary, gender fluid stuff.
I'm not highly educated on that, but that, yeah. But no, we're not on here to bash anybody. And what we're sharing our opinion that bringing kids on a field trip to a gay bar and grill to introduce that this is what our community is. I think there's better ways that you could do it. I just don't think a lot of common sense was used in that situation, right along with the Hazard District, the Hazard High School prom. What started out as something that should have been fun ended up to be something that turned into very inappropriate very quickly. And they're calling for the superintendent and the school board there to be fired also. I don't believe that's appropriate either, but I do think that probably should be addressed. I don't know how you'd even go about that, honestly. But, hey, we got a caller that wants to add their opinion. Let's get onto the phone here. And 5202, if your phone number ends in 5202, we're going to bring you on the air right now. So who do we got on the air with us tonight?
Well, technically on Facebook, it's Leanne.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We know Leanne very well. She's a huge supporter of the trucking industry. And Leanne, I'm glad that you called, because here's one of the people that we know very closely that is directly involved in the conversation we were just having. And I would love to hear her opinion on this and her thoughts on this.
That's why I called. We are a household of two moms, and I don't agree with anything that's happened. There's no way in hell I would take my kids to a gay bar. My youngest ones know, you know, about donors and that, you know, people can be who they want to be, but a gay bar, absolutely not.
And I really am glad that you called in, Leanne, because I've met Leanne personally, and I met her. You guys are married, correct?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah, I've met her, her wife, and her children. And let me be the first to say that you want to talk about a very happy and wonderful family, and very polite and kind, and I can't say enough good things about you, Leanne. As a matter of fact, since I've got you on the phone, I've got a card that was from you guys from Indianapolis. Do you remember writing that?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Do you mind if I read that out loud? And I'll keep the names out of it. This was a card that she gave all of us truckers down in Indianapolis May 1st. They drove. You guys drove all the way from New York, correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, they drove all the way from New York State to be with us in Indianapolis May 1st to support the trucking industry as we fight over regulation. And here's what the letter states from Leanne. Dear trucker, I wanted to take a minute to thank you for a few things. Thank you for sacrificing your family life, time, to keep the world spinning. Thank you for always coming together, and thank you for fighting for things in politics that shouldn't happen. Example, the PRO Act. It wouldn't just affect truckers, but also other big community, the homeschool world, or another big community, the homeschool world. be safe out there. Thank you. And then she wrote, you know, her and her wife's name and plus the gang, her children. And I carry this with my truck. I don't know if that surprises you or not, Leanne, but I keep this in my truck right above my CB. And every time I grab my CB, that letter is up there. And it reminds me of who I'm fighting for and why I fight. That's just one of the kind gestures that I've received. And that was a big one to me. That meant a lot to me and still does mean a lot to me. And, Leanne, I want you to know that I appreciate you calling in and sharing your opinion on and thoughts of what we're talking about, because I think you firsthand know that I have no prejudice toward anybody or anything regarding what they choose in their life or how they choose to live their life. Would I be correct in saying that, Leanne?
Yes, yes, very correct.
Okay, well, Leanne, again, thank you so much for everything that you do. Did you want to add anything else, or was that all you had?
No, that's pretty much it. I'm just astonished that the world's going this way, and I just thank you guys and all the truckers that are listening and non-truckers. I can't thank you guys enough. So that's it.
Yeah. No, the thank you needs to go to you and your wife and your family for sacrificing. You were in D.C., you went to Indianapolis, you've gone to a lot of our events, numerous events, and to stand with us, even though you're not truck drivers. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart, Leanne, I appreciate you and your wife and your family, your support. And thank you for the call tonight. And we'll talk to you soon. And again, thank you so much for everything, standing up for us. You have a great night, Leanne.
You're welcome. Have a good night, guys.
Okay, that was Leanne, and again, I think you guys heard the conversation. What's your take on that one, Chris? That was a good call. I'm glad she did call in, because we sure appreciate her. She's really showing the trucking industry a lot of support.
Yeah, I haven't actually. I don't know Leanne myself, but I'd certainly know the events that you said she went to, and. We always appreciate the people that, you know, come out, and I appreciate the people that come out and show support of anything, you know, against the government overreach and all the other insanity that's going on these days.
Well, it helps us to validate the conversation we're having, as far as, you know, her coming on and saying, you know, I live in a household with two moms and we raise children. And again, let me just reiterate, their children are the most polite, respectful children that I've met in my life. Her and her wife are some of the most kind-hearted, just polite people. I mean, I honestly can't say enough good things about them. But it's very nice to hear firsthand from somebody living in that situation. Living as a lesbian couple, married with children, and their families can work too. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, whenever I see stuff like that, their kids are very well rounded. They're good people. What does it matter? Well, you know, people will quote the Bible. It says you're not supposed to do. You know, the Bible says a lot of things, but it also says, "Do not judge, for you too shall be judged in the same manner you judge others." So that's where my stance is. If they're happy, I'm happy. And if they're doing a good job raising their kids, then I'm even more happy. So let it be that. And you heard straight from her. It's inappropriate to bring kids to a bar, whether it's a gay bar or a heterosexual bar. It's not appropriate for elementary kids to go on a field trip to a bar and grill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's talk about how many people die a year of alcohol-related, you know, diseases and incidents. You know, do we really want to be, we're supposedly all about teaching our kids healthy habits. Do we really want to be introducing them to the bar scene in elementary school? You know, I don't think so. Not if we're teaching
right.
healthy habits. You know, let them discover alcohol all on their own without being taken to the bar in elementary school. The rest of us seem to have found our way there just fine.
I've never been to a bar. Hey, you know what? Why don't we grab this one caller, this last person? We got a few minutes left here. I think I might not. I don't know for a fact if I know who it is, but I think
I
do.
Oh, are you
one?
Oh, you know.
Let
what,
me see. We're gonna add him in right now. Right now, here he comes. Here he comes right now.
Warning! Warning! Bullshitter alert! Bullshitter alert! Warning! Warning! Bullshitter alert! Bullshitter alert! Warning! Bullshitter alert!
All I got to say is this. That last comment you made about not ever being in a bar, you should get the bullshitter alert. That's what I was saying as soon as I heard you come out of your mouth. How are we doing tonight?
We must have a bad connection, and we're about to lose him here.
Oh, short stack here. Yeah, we're going to lose short stack. What's going on?
Hey, before I let you talk, I do have to cut to one quick commercial, and then we'll come back on, okay? I did find our soundbite from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back on, Dan. I'm going to leave your mic on while we play this commercial, though, okay, just so you know.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Swift Truck Driver.
Swift Truck Driver.
Day after day, mile after mile, you'll hit or run over anything to get your load where it's gotta go.
Can't nothing stop me now.
Not bridges, not low-clearance overpasses, illegal U-turns, road construction, nor any tight spaces can deter you from putting your truck where you think it ought to go.
Ooh, get out of my way now.
Throwing caution and most often common sense to the wind, you'll run through, into, and over any obstacle to complete your run. So crack open a 53-foot trailer and a cold Bud Light, oh, king of the truck demolition derby.
I love it. I love it.
That was from our sponsor.
Great sponsor.
Yeah, they are a great sponsor. They don't pay us anything, but they're still our sponsor.
That's right. Great sponsor.
What's up tonight, short stack?
Oh, just got done driving through about 6 hours of rain from West Virginia all the way down to Tar Heel, North Carolina. Stressful. I am going to put
a... It must be raining all over.
Oh, my gosh. It's just raining all day, all night on us. But
I drove from Carthage, Missouri, all the way up to Clear Lake, Iowa, where I'm at now, in rain all day. And Chris, he drove in rain all day, too. And,
it
must be raining in three-quarters of the country. Yeah.
Hey,
what do you got, brother?
I will say, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to put out a bad review on a product that's out there. If you were thinking about buying heated ELD or LED headlights and you're thinking about buying Grody's, do not waste your money. They are the biggest pieces of crap there is on the road. I cannot see a darn thing. They barely even light up the white lines. They're so dang dim. Do not waste your money on Grody.
Anything
you know what?
Is opinion.
I had
we
them
not,
lined up as a sponsor. I had them lined up as a sponsor next week. You ruined it.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, thanks
I'm
a lot.
Sorry.
Thanks a lot, short stack.
I apologize. Well, if they want to give me something that's going to work better than these 5x7 heated LED lights that I got in my truck, I'll retract my statement.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me just put the disclaimer out there. Any opinion shared on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show isn't necessarily the opinion of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. So that is the opinion of short stack. So. Anyway, guys, it's been a hell of a show. Man, we had a lot to talk about. We didn't even get at all of our subjects, but, hey, there's always
next
week, right?
I know. I'm sorry I missed out on a lot of your show tonight. I apologize.
We had
come back and listen to more of it tonight or when it's over with.
Well, I set it up for 3 hours, Chris, but we're up to our 2 hours right now. So, I mean, we can go up to 3 hours,
no,
but I don't
man,
like it because I got to get up early in the morning.
No, there's
you know how that goes.
8:30. It's only 8:30, dude. Yeah, we've only been going an hour and a half.
What the hell's going on with my on-air stream then?
This show is so hard on him. He's having such
a bad
show. He lost track of time.
What does your stream say, Chris?
It says, 59 minutes and 44 seconds. You must have set us up for 2.5 hours, not 3.
Okay.
Did
well,
you
good.
Set it up for
Listen,
150
now,
minutes? You set it up for 150 minutes.
I might have pushed
minutes.
The button.
That's
I might have pushed
did
the button.
Did you consult with me before you did math, Jeremy?
Oh, my God.
I was, like, cruising through stuff. I'm like, oh, we got to get to this. We got to get to that. We're losing time. Hell, we got a half hour.
I wonder
what
why
the hell?
You're in such a damn hurry, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what have you guys talked about so far tonight?
Well, a lot about you.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that I live free in your head.
Well, it wasn't me talking about
free
you.
In
it
your
was
head.
Our callers.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't us. It was our caller. Yeah. Our callers are very intellectual individuals that know who you are, and they don't really.
I agree with my opinion.
I don't even know what to say.
Well, I will say this. Your last caller you had on are the sweetest kids in the world. I mean.
They really
are. When they came down to Washington, D.C., and they brought those cards down there and were handing them out to the drivers, there were so many drivers that I heard, because I'd done left when them cards came in, because she came in like day 20 or something like that. And I had already left, but I heard so many drivers say it brought tears to their eyes to have little girls walk up and hand them a card that said thank you for what they did.
Yeah. And not only did they do that in D.C., they come over to Indianapolis at our event there at the Capitol, drove all the way.
Yeah, I got
way,
one
you know,
in
just like, yeah, you got. Yeah, I did too. And I think we all got one
of
Indy.
I got my card at Indy. Yeah, I got a card.
Well,
at
we
Indy kind of
felt bad because we kind of did an impromptu slow roll around Indianapolis on 465. Was it 465? And
then
we kind of jumped
and then
in our
nobody went back and got them.
Well, they took off
after
that, but yeah.
Oh,
yeah, then we went down to the monument downtown. That's pretty cool. If you've never been to Indianapolis, go down to the monument, that circle, monument circle. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, we've been discussing a lot of things. We were talking about Alec Baldwin, and then we got into, we skipped over Kyle Rittenhouse. And then now that we have a half hour, we might as well talk about that, huh, Chris?
Yeah, and that brings me up to our next subject. While we got you on here with Daniel, Jeremy, this is actually an intervention.
You fucking crazy, man. You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
Yeah, that's what I think of that.
I am medicated for your safety.
I am too. Mine's nicotine.
All right. You know what? Earlier this week, I kind of threw it out there. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're a crazy conspiracy theorist, and I can prove it.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like you're a conspiracy theorist?
No.
I've been called a conspiracy theorist and a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist many, many times. But, no, I believe I'm a truth seeker. So, yeah, that's my
answer.
Here
we go. A truth seeker. Okay, now the fact that you say truth seeker suggests that there's a lie out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk about conspiracy theorists. Because, the term gets thrown around a lot these days. And, of course, whenever you say conspiracy theorist, you said you made the tinfoil hat reference. The automatic assumption is that a conspiracy theorist is someone who's paranoid, delusional. They got their tinfoil on their head to stop the satellite from tracking the fact that they're going to the grocery store to buy milk. And so that is the commonly accepted idea of what a conspiracy theorist is. And so when someone hurls that out there, of course, it's supposed to be an insult. It's supposed to insinuate that you're a crazy, paranoid, delusional. But that's not in actuality what a conspiracy theorist is. So let's talk about, first off, what's a conspiracy? A conspiracy is essentially two or more people working together secretly to achieve some objective that is hidden from others, okay? Conspiracies happen all the time. It's a regular word you hear thrown around in criminal courts. Conspiracy to traffic drugs. Conspiracy to traffic guns, right? Conspiracy to defraud a place of commerce, okay? Conspiracy charges get filed all the time. Conspiracies happen all the time. A conspiracy theory is nothing more than perceiving that maybe something you're being told is not true, and you believe that two or more people are in actuality working together on some ulterior motive behind the scenes. Okay, so it doesn't have to be grand, but the media would have you believe that conspiracy theories only exist on people who lean to the political right. Because they never just say conspiracy theorists. It's always a right-wing conspiracy theorist, a far-right conspiracy theory. We've heard those terms just repeated over and over again, almost like they're trying to brainwash us. But I digress. Now, the fact of the matter is, a conspiracy theory doesn't have to be left-leaning or right-leaning. So let's talk about the presidential election, 2020. Now, we've heard repeated probably 1.2 million times by mainstream media that there's a conspiracy theory, a right-wing conspiracy theory, that the election was rigged in favor of Joe Biden and that he didn't really win. And they have said over and over again, far-right conspiracy theory, those darn right-wingers, right? They're just always full of conspiracies. Let's talk about the flip side of that. So the people that believe that Biden won legitimately will also tell you they believe that Donald Trump and his legal team completely fabricated their little bit of evidence that the election was rigged and that they are actively attempting to steal the election by suppressing perfectly legal votes, and that they are doing that by manipulating data and, like I said, just completely fabricating the whole idea of voter fraud. That in itself is also a conspiracy theory. You're literally accusing Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Lindell. I can't think of the attorney's name now, but Sidney, think of anyone? Sidney Powers? Sidney Powers?
Yeah.
You're literally accusing all those
Lynn
people.
Wood and Sidney Powell, yeah.
Yeah. You're literally accusing all those people of working together to create a story that's not true to achieve the objective of stealing the election back from Joe Biden. So if you believe that, I hate to break it to you, you're also a conspiracy theorist. You just believe a different conspiracy theory than the people who believe that the election was rigged in favor of Joe Biden. And so essentially, anyone who believes that there is some false narrative out there that they're being told is a conspiracy. It's not just a right-leaning thing. And so what we got going on, the system is broken. And that's why the conspiracy theories are so far out of control. People know they're being lied to by somebody, either Team Trump and all the data they have pulled from the audits they've done is correct, and there was a massive amount of voter fraud in the swing states that actually did falsely award the election to Joe Biden, or the Trump team actually is involved in a conspiracy where they fabricated all this evidence and are attempting to steal. Somebody's lying.
But yeah,
the
exactly.
Two sides
and then
have,
then you look at Wendy Rogers, the senator out of Arizona. I mean, Wendy Rogers, and what did the Senate chair just do today or yesterday? Announced that the AG in Arizona is going to start up an investigation where there is going to be charges filed in Arizona and Maricopa County. What happened
right.
in Georgia and Fulton County? Two poll workers were fired. And there's a certain group, and if, I wish I could remember what their group is. Apparently they're going to be submitting video evidence of ballots being dumped. And there's investigations in Pennsylvania and also in Michigan and Wisconsin also. So, I mean, okay, so you say we're a bunch of right-wing conspiracy theorists, but why are all these investigations happening, and why are these investigations showing evidence? And now, and before I say something here, we don't give a shit if there's an investigations and they find, oh, yep, there was voter fraud, but Joe Biden still won. Okay, we got it. As long as that there was an investigation, but it proved that there was voter fraud. We don't care which side wins here. It happens to be that we don't think that Biden won. However, if we are proven wrong and they do a full investigation and they find out there was voter fraud and there was people more votes than what they even had ballots for, that happened in Wisconsin. I believe it was Wisconsin.
And Delaware.
I'd have to remember that. Yeah, Delaware, that's the one. They sent out 160,000 ballots and got back 193,000 or 190,000 or something like that. There's a huge discrepancy. Those are what
right.
That's what needs to be investigated. Let's make sure that we have fair and just elections, regardless of who the winner is, whether you like it or not, as long as it's fair and just. And we know that people ain't trying to tamper with our election process, because after all, that is the holy grail of our whole democracy, of our whole republic, is voter integrity. And don't let them fool you with the words that they use with these new the vote for what is the act that they're trying to get through right now, the Democratic Party. Do you remember what the name of that is? The Right to Vote, the Right to Vote Act.
Right to Vote Act.
And, yep, and they all come out and say, we need voting integrity. We need voting integrity. Where the hell were you in the 2020 election when there's proof that there was voter discrepancies. Where were you then, and where are you now? Let's address that right now. Let's get this handled. And regardless, again, who won, doesn't matter. But let's investigate this to make sure that it was on the up and up. That's all we're asking. But they don't. They're trying to hide it and suppress the information, going as far as deleting files and throwing away potential evidence. Like this has been proven. And I know a lot of people don't watch and see and observe the same news sources that you and I do. They watch their CNN or they watch their Fox or they watch NBC or NBC, whatever. Doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, we dig into this stuff a little bit deeper than the normal human being does, because we have more time than you. We get that too. But there are discrepancies that people need to be aware of. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying.
Right.
But go
and
ahead.
I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I didn't mean to narrow it just to the presidential election. But I always enjoy calling out the media on their use of words, and they have a real tendency to slant things towards one side and not the other. How many times have you heard the word right-wing extremist? You've heard that a bunch, right?
Let me tell you about this. When I researched the Gateway Pundit, okay, you know what the Gateway Pundit is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I researched who the Gateway Pundit is. I Googled it, actually, which I usually never do. I usually use DuckDuckGo. That's what I use. So I Googled Gateway Pundit, and here's what it come out. A right-wing a conspiracy news source. And so I didn't pay much attention to what they were reporting after that because, you know, my mind was swayed that, oh, he's one of these right-wings, blah, 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 blah. That is until they did a story on me. Yeah, yours truly. The Gateway Pundit did a story on me.
I remember that.
For being banned off of TikTok. And I get this story sent to me. I'm like, holy shit, the Gateway Pundit did a story on me? So I read the story. I read the article. It was very fair. And they quoted me for what I said. They didn't try to embellish or lie about anything that I said or did or what I was promoting. It was a very fair article. And then I realized, holy shit, Google, when you search these, are even – the article I read was from a fact checker, by the way. So now when people say, oh, the Gateway Pundit is a right-wing conspiracy source, I tell them, well, then I must be a right-wing conspiracy theorist because they did an article on me for getting banned off of TikTok for no reason. So there you go. There's your proof. There's your what do they call that? The proof in the pudding? Is that what they call it?
That's it.
I don't know. Yeah, okay. Well, hey, I got one thing right tonight. But anyway, that's where I want to go with that, the proof that not everything that they call a right-wing conspiracy is a right-wing conspiracy. It's more than likely somebody trying to cover something up.
Well, you know, if you look at Hollywood, if you look at any movie or TV show in probably the last three decades, anytime the subject of a militia comes up, and I don't care if you're watching Sons of Anarchy or Yellowstone or I can't think of any movies off the top of my head, but anytime you see a militia portrayed in a Hollywood production, what do you always see? You always see some crazy looking hillbilly-ish white group of guys with shaved heads, swastika flags hanging up, Confederate flags, and they're appearing to be, you know, low IQ, and they're some sort of racist, extremist, completely void of logic type of group. Violent. That's how Hollywood portrays them, and they have been portraying them like that for at least three decades that I know
of. It's called conditioning, my friend. It's called conditioning.
It is conditioning. It's conditioning. And so imagine, like, my shock when, you know, I attended the pro-Second Amendment rally in Richmond, Virginia. What was that, 2 years ago? I believe so.
I believe so.
Almost 2 years ago. Yeah, January of 2020, right before COVID, where they were trying to pass a whole bunch of extremely restrictive gun control laws out there in Virginia that subverted the Second Amendment. And like 50,000 pro-Second Amendment people from all over the country showed up at the state capitol of Virginia. And I was there for that. I, along with a few other of our friends in the trucking industry, we went out there for that. We drove our trucks around the capitol, you know, in a circle and had our flags, you know, flying from the trucks and was honking the horns, and it was a great time. But I couldn't believe when all I kept seeing in the news media coverage of it was white supremacist, white supremacist, white supremacist. And I'm like, what? Like, do these people know anything about any of us at all? I didn't see any white supremacists out there. As a matter of fact, there were some pictures taken with a group of African-American gentlemen who were out there carrying their arms and holding up signs. And are they white supremacists too? You know,
that pisses
Asian
me
people.
Off.
There were some people
it
out
pisses
there
me
with,
off,
with rainbow flags. There were some people from the LGBTQ community out there showing their support for the Second Amendment. But to hear the media tell it, this was literally like a Ku Klux Klan rally. And it was nothing, nothing of the sort. And
no, they
so,
did the same thing to us in St. Paul, Chris. The same thing at the Capitol when I stood up there with the healthcare workers about a month and a half ago. They did the same thing to us.
Yeah, and so they really enjoy mischaracterizing, especially misrepresenting anyone who is on the right of the political spectrum, because I guess to vilify people on the right, and I don't even consider myself to be right wing. I consider myself to be a political centrist. But and a part of being a political centrist, that means a lot of my conservative friends think I'm a liberal, and a lot of my liberal friends think I'm a conservative. And in actuality, I kind of go back and forth depending upon the issue. But I get branded, you know, if you're pro-Second Amendment, you are just automatically branded as a far-right extremist. Never mind all the different leftist groups and people of color and people from the LGBTQ community that are also pro-Second Amendment. They just lump us all together. I was just a bunch of white supremacists. You know, if you believe in the Second Amendment, you're a white supremacist. You're a neo-Nazi. And so
exactly. And you know what we really are, Chris, though, what me and you are, and guys, a lot of guys like us, we're not Republicans. We're not Democrats. We belong to the party of leave us the hell alone and let us live our lives. That's the party we belong to. Quit regulating us. Quit coming up with these bullshit rules and regulation and legislation. Quit trying to spend trillions of dollars on something you call the Build Back Better infrastructure plan when only 3% of that infrastructure plan actually goes to infrastructure. Quit calling it what it's not. Quit using I'm going to make you feel warm and fuzzy, the PRO Act, protecting the right to organize. You're not protecting the right to organize. You're taking away my rights to work under the authority of another company and being a leased on owner operator. You're taking the rights away from freelance workers because you're worried that they might be getting away with $100 of taxes that they should have paid to the federal government. Meanwhile, you received a record amount of money last year in taxes, and you still can't make a budget. You still have to overspend. The federal government's out of control, and they can go themselves. Bzz, there we go. Okay, rant over.
But my whole point of this whole, you know, grand conspiracy theorist thing is that that's how they brand people. But what's actually happening is we have a breakdown of the system. People no longer trust what they're being told by the media, by the government, whether it be from the government as a whole or one particular side of the government, one particular branch of the government. There is a complete breakdown of trust in the system in general. And that is not just a right-wing thing. I mean, let's talk about Black Lives Matter. Let's talk about Antifa. Do you think they trust the system? They see some evil ulterior motive in every piece of legislation that's coming out. That's why they're out marching in the streets. They don't trust the system any longer. They think everything is ultimately geared towards making their lives worse. So you got all these different factions. We all agree that the government is feeding us a bunch of bullshit. We all agree that the system, we may not agree on what parts of the system are rigged. We may not agree on how it's rigged or why it's rigged, but we all have a general distrust of the government that extends to both branches, or both parties, I should say. It extends to all three branches of government. We all have this distrust. And whenever you express that you think you have a reason to believe there's an ulterior motive that's not being revealed, whether it's left-leaning or right-leaning, by God, you're a conspiracy theorist. And it doesn't matter which walk of life you come from. If you don't trust the system, if you think you're being lied to, you are a conspiracy theorist. And for those of you who are just having the great awakening at realizing that, damn it, I am a conspiracy theorist, you're welcome. Welcome to my world. And I hope you enjoy your time here as much as I have.
I know. Yeah, it just gets crazier. I keep on telling you guys, we talk on the phone pretty much every day, and I get up in the morning. I tweeted this out the other day too. I said, you know, I wake up in the morning to the Ringling Brothers three ring circus, and I wonder to myself, what am I going to see today? And I just don't know. And you know what? Let's bring Short Stack back on the phone, since we got about 4 minutes left of the show. Now that I'm on right on schedule now, what do you want, Short Stack?
Okay, here's my kick on everything. Conspiracy theory number one that goes through the trucking industry all the time, especially with the whole, well, it's not a conspiracy theory, but it's the whole theory that we're not allowed to carry firearms in our trucks. My conspiracy theory to that is I don't carry one in my truck, even though I want one and want to carry one, is because it is a gray area to the officer when he stops you, that if you tell him you have a firearm in your truck, it's a huge gray area whether he decides whether or not you're allowed to have that or not at the time. And I don't want to go through that headache. That's number one. Number two, the whole COVID-19 conspiracy theory is that in the beginning when everybody was saying, oh, it does this, it does that, it does this, it does that, and everybody in the left sitting there and all the doctors in D.C. and all the politicians on the left are all like, oh, no, it's perfectly fine, la-da-da-da-da. But yeah, every day you see more and more people with issues, more and more people that are having negative reactions to that vaccine by taking it, whether it be death, whether it be lifetime freaking disabilities, whether it be lifetime heart problems, lifetime memory problems, brain fog, all that stuff. Listen, it is true. This stuff has actually happened because of that vaccine, and we're seeing it. So that conspiracy theory has been proven correct. It's no longer conspiracy.
Let me stop you for 1 second, Dan. I wanted to touch base on this tonight because – or did I touch – I didn't touch base with that last week. I just seen her Friday night. I was just telling you guys about this, right, Chris, about my friend with the blood clots?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I seen a friend of mine last Friday night, a wonderful person, a beautiful soul. And we were talking, and she says, you're not squeamish, are you? I said, well, not really, I guess, unless it involves heights or I'm standing in anything taller than me. But she said, I want to show you some pictures. She said, first of all, I've been having my period for 5 weeks now straight. And she showed me some pictures, and it was a bunch of blood on rags that were clotted, blood clots. And I immediately put my head down, and I said, oh, no, 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 no. Did you get vaccinated? She goes, yeah. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so, 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 so sorry. I said, I've been trying to warn people that this is causing blood clots. The mainstream media is not covering it. Facebook is telling you that the fact checkers are telling you you're spreading false information. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening to people. This is happening to people. Okay, Dan, I'm sorry. I had to tell that story. That's as far into it as I'm going to get right now.
Yeah, we had a couple of episodes ago.
I've got a family friend of mine. Family friends. Their youngest daughter, 23 years old, took the second shot. 3 weeks later, she's got her in the walking position. She's 120 pounds, soaking wet, 5'7", healthy as a horse. And walking down the street, her heartbeat is over 150 beats a minute. Her blood pressure is 150 over 120 while she's standing up. How can you have that as a perfectly healthy 23-year-old female without something causing it? 3 weeks after she took the third shot, it started. Or the second shot, I mean, it started. I mean, you see this every day. And so
yeah,
it drives me bonkers to hear the left and hear the media and the flipping the with all the knowledge and follow the science, but yet when these pharmaceutical companies regulate this stuff and ask for the ability to give it to certain individuals, no, I'm good, thank you. They look at them and they take the pharmaceuticals research. The government's not doing their own personal research. The CDC's not doing research on this on the regulations. they're self-certifying this stuff, just like they did the ELD, just like they do everything. They go off the data that the pharmaceutical company collects. You don't see government data or data going against it. Look at any drug out there. You don't see all that other data until 10 years down the road.
You know why you don't
see stuff off the shelf?
You know why you don't see that other data? Is because they are silencing people. They are censoring and silencing
absolutely
people.
Absolutely they are.
The only side you are hearing are the sides that are agreeing with the government and Big Pharma. That's the only side
because
that you are
money.
Hearing.
Follow the money, not the science.
It's
follow the
all
money.
About the money. Yeah, if you want to follow the science, you better start doing your own research because you're being lied to. But,
well,
gentlemen,
I was talking
real.
To a buddy of mine yesterday. Okay.
Dave.
You guys have a good night then. I was going to say one more thing, but that's all right.
Well, go ahead. We'll keep it going. We got a little bit. Go ahead, Daniel.
Look at the symbol for pharmacy. What's on the symbol of a pharmacy? A snake.
Serpent.
Poison. Everything the pharmacy puts out there is poison. Now, it's a poison to something. If you take too much of it, it's poison. And that, everybody should think about that. When they look at the symbol for what pharmacy means, it's a symbol of a snake. And there's a snake in that symbol, and that's a symbol of poison.
No, that's a good observation. I guess I haven't really looked into that. But hey, brother, we're going to let you go. We're going to get off the air here. I'm going to finish this up with Chris, and we'll talk.
You guys
to you
have
soon,
a good
brother.
Night. Thanks for letting me on.
All right, Chris. Well, it's been another great show, and
yep,
yeah. We're over our 2 hour time, which is fine. We're tonight we're allotted 150 minutes because I must have pushed the wrong button, but. Normally, I set it up for 180 minutes, which is 3 hours. We go for two. That way, if we get into something interesting and there's a lot of debate or a lot of callers, we had a few callers tonight, which was great, hearing from Stephen and Leanne and Shortstack. If we get into really deep conversations, we'll let it go for the full 3 hours probably. But for the main part or most part, we're just going to try to keep it at 2 hours. That's long enough. Keep people interested in what we're talking about. Not a lot of people I know have 2 hours to spend listening to me. So that's why we keep it at 2 hours. But great show tonight. We covered a lot of things. We still didn't get to Kyle Rittenhouse, but again, there's going to be plenty of that coming out in the next couple of weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of opportunity to talk about Kyle. So.
Yeah, the Kenosha kid. Me and Chris were talking earlier about, every day we wake up, like I start writing down on my notebook all the news stories, and we haven't even touched a tenth of what I've been reading into. And it's seriously, we have material.
By 5 o'clock Friday, or at the worst case, by 10 a.m. Monday, we already have enough material for the next show. And then we didn't even talk about Cuomo's criminal charges tonight. That literally broke right before we went on the air. So
what was that? Globalist criminal charges?
No, Cuomo.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that on the phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they got Cuomo has been officially or formally charged with, forcefully touching that woman in the breast. Okay, so we got that. We have Kyle Rittenhouse story going on. We have the Alec Baldwin story going on. I wanted to touch base with about Susan Rosenberg about Black Lives Matter and the January 6th insurrection. We have a lot of material stored up, and trust me, I've got this all saved on my phone and my iPad where we will be getting to this as we go here. So stick with us and tell your friends about the show. And even if they don't necessarily fall on the side of believing what we're saying, I can assure you that we're not out here purposely spreading lies like the media does. We are trying to focus on what it is we see and observe throughout the week, and me especially through all my social media platforms. I told Tony the other day, bro, I get up in the morning, and throughout the day, whether I'm at a shipper, receiver, getting loaded or unloaded, I have to spend 3 to 5 hours a day going through my social media to answer messages and just look at, observe. It's a full-time job. I could honestly use an assistant. If I had the money to pay for one, I would, but I don't. But anyway, we do appreciate each and every one of you that listen to our show, and Leanne and Diane for calling in and letting us know that, you know, we're not off base of finding the that field trip in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, a little bit inappropriate. Or not a little bit, but a lot. We appreciate your thoughts and opinions on that, and we appreciate you. The rest of you, we appreciate each and every one of our listeners. And follow us on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show page and group on Facebook. We will post all of our episodes on there the day after we do it. Like this episode will be posted tomorrow. I did see that we had a couple posts on there from a couple different people today on the group. And I just want to remind all of you that we are not allowing other posts on that page. They accidentally got put through, so we will be removing them for future reference. We want to keep the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show just the radio show and things that we talk about on our radio show. Not that your opinion doesn't matter to us, because it does. Private message me if you have something you want to talk about or want to see on the show, and then call in and join the conversation. You are welcome to post your stuff on the Disrespected Trucker group, but not on the radio page, the radio group. So that is just for the radio. Anyway, thank you guys. Great conversation tonight, Chris. I appreciate everything like always. And do you want to add anything before we jet off of here?
You know, I just want to give a shout out to all those nighttime road warriors that are out there listening to us while they drive at night, because you and I are both solar powered, and we're safely parked once the sun goes down most of the time. So, you know what? Shout out to you guys that are out there doing the job at night, and tell your friends about us. Thanks for tuning in.
That's right. We do appreciate you guys and you truckers out there. Keep that shiny side up, the rubber side down. Keep it between the lines. Go home safe to your families at the end of the week. If the conditions are too bad for you to drive, pull that son of a bitch over. There ain't no need to risk your life over a load. It'll get there tomorrow. You guys all have a great night. God bless.